We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, as we come around your word today, I pray that you would cause us to hear what you want to say. Father, we've not come to hear a person, but we've come to hear from heaven. I'm asking, Lord, for godly wisdom in how I speak. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of this message, your word says that faith comes by hearing from the word of God. So, Lord, I pray today faith would come. I pray, Lord, wisdom would come. Lord, I thank you today. People will meet you as Lord and Savior. And everybody said, amen. Wisdom. Never say wisdom. I want to talk to you about this because actually this series on wise guys, have you enjoyed some of the, if you like, some of the excitement we've been wanting to create through our social media posts with wise guys? I think it's been very, very clever, don't you? I enjoy watching it all. Pastors have been texting me all over the country and around the world going, man, I'm looking forward to hearing your series. I get amazed sometimes. I get messages from pastors all over the world saying, man, I heard this message you preached. I got one today from someone who said they just listened to my Renewing Your Mind series and just telling me how much they got out of it. If I weren't in this church, I would go to this church. If I weren't a pastor of this church, I would go to this church. How many thank God? How many believe you get good teaching from the Word of God? Amen. And not just me. Our amazing team, Joe Riddle, apparently, was just off the charts. Can I tell you something about Joe? Joe's someone that I actually feel like actually is a gift to the body of Christ, and I want to make sure we maximize what is on Joe's life in terms of stewarding that gift and helping him be a great blessing to all of what is Wave Campuses and Wave World. So looking forward to hearing more of Joe in the future. While we're at it, we want to welcome, again, I already mentioned all of our campuses. I want to start by saying this, that wisdom is rare according to Scripture. Now, not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. The Bible says she's hard to find, that she's not available to the casual seeker. It's not something you just stumble upon and suddenly you have. The Scripture tells us that wisdom is rare. In other words, it's not common. And wisdom, godly wisdom, is more than street smart wisdom. Now, I guess in some senses, I grew up in, you know, born in New York City, grew up in the streets of New York, and then moved to Australia at a younger age and had two alcoholic parents, and my father was also a gambler. And as a result of that, you see one, you know your parents to be one person, but their public persona could look quite different from what we knew of them in a family life. And so sometimes, and as you grow up and you see people, you sometimes meet people and you kind of think, you're looking good, but what are you like really? You with me here? That's called street smart. I remember sometimes as the pastor of Wave Church and over my life and over my travels, some people would love to try and tell me how I should run the church and try to somehow, you know, try and control vision and all the rest of it. And I go, no, no, you're not that good. You haven't met my mother. And I love my mom. She's in heaven today. But you understand when you grow up in those things, you get street smart. But I'm not talking about being street smart. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Let me just start by saying there is a blessing in finding wisdom. That if you want to be blessed, one of the ways in which you will be blessed is if you're on the pursuit of finding wisdom. That there's just a blessing in getting on the journey of number one, realizing that you don't have it, and number two, knowing where it's found. It's not street smart, it's found in godly wisdom. For those who gain understanding, for she, wisdom, and by the way, Sharon has taught me, and she picked it out. She showed me one day in Scripture that wisdom is always identified in Scripture as a she. Say to wisdom, thou art my sister. Tie her around your neck. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, more valuable than gold. I said, well, look at that. It's true. Wisdom is always identified in the Bible as a she. And then Sharon also pointed out, have you also noticed that foolishness is always identified as a he? And I looked it up. A fool have said in his heart, there is no God. A fool shows his annoyance at once. So according to Sharon, wisdom is a she and foolishness is a he. And all the women said, well, that was a little too loud of an amen. Now, let me just speak to the men just for a minute. If you're not coming to men's conference, that would be a foolish thing to do. I want to encourage you to be here Friday night, Saturday morning. It's going to be amazing. She, wisdom, is more valuable or profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. You ever seen those TV shows where the guy goes and hires all that earth movement equipment, puts his whole livelihood on the line, wanting to find gold? And you ever seen them in the ocean where they've got those big suction machines and they're sucking the, you know, and I'm thinking these guys go to a whole lot of effort because they understand the value of gold. I wonder how much effort have we put into finding wisdom? Because the Bible says she is more precious and more valuable than, it says here, she is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand. Wisdom gives you long life. That's just what's in her right hand. What's in her left hand? Look what the Bible says. Our riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and to those who hold her fast will be blessed. In other words, watch it now. Wisdom brings peace. Man, there's a lot of people needing peace in today's world. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of depression in our world today. The Bible says if you find wisdom, you will find peace. It says pleasantness. In other words, there's not all these dramas. With godly wisdom, the life gets pleasant. How many just want to just know pleasant? Three people. Okay, number, it says honor and riches, long life. I want long life. I don't just want long life. I want a quality of long life. I don't want to be, you know, 95 in a wheelchair, you know, drool hanging out of my mouth. I want to be vibrant. I want long life. And the Bible tells me that if I search after wisdom, that will come. It says it is more valuable than silver or jewels. So let me give you a few thoughts about wisdom. Number one, listen to this now. Every campus, I want you to catch it. Don't trust your own eyes. Don't just go with natural wisdom. You know, Jesus said the children of this world, of this generation, are wiser than the children of light. But look what the scripture also says. Proverbs 12, we're going to look at Proverbs. Verse 15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The way of fools seems right to them. In other words, the Bible puts it this way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. How many have made some worldly, seems right decisions only to find out they weren't godly decisions? The way of fools seems right. I'm going to marry whoever I want to rather than listen to godly wisdom. I'm going to run my life however I seems good to me rather than listen to godly wisdom. I love it though. He goes, but blessed are those, wise are those who listen to advice. Thank God. One of the ways in which we actually get wisdom is to don't trust our own eyes. Don't just make decisions that just seem good to us, but we actually take the wisdom and the counsel of other godly people that can weigh in and help you in making the best decision. How many can honestly say, in every campus, how many can honestly say you were going to make a certain decision that was going to take you one direction that seemed right to you, but thank God for godly friends who came and gave you advice, and maybe even at the time it wasn't pleasant to hear, but literally as a result of you listening to their advice, it saved you from making a mistake. How many people can, come on, let me see your hand. In every campus, thank God for it. We get wisdom. What seems right when it comes to money decisions, when it comes to life decisions. Proverbs 27 verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friend, let me tell you something. We need people in our life that can help us with godly wisdom. And there's a way that seems right. And we want what we want. We want to do what we want to do. But thank God for godly wisdom that actually gets us on course from being off course. What seems right versus the wisdom of God. Number two, hearing and practicing God's word builds wisdom. So we got to pursue it. Where do we find it? By hearing the word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Amen? So being in the house of God, listening to the word of God, brings the wisdom of God. Where else are you going to find it? Look what the Bible says, Matthew 7. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Anyone who hears these words and puts them into practice, these words of mine, the words that Jesus speaks, the word of God, if you hear it and put it into practice, you are wise. Look what the Bible says. It says the rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew, beat against the house, and it fell. And watch, listen to me, great was that crash. In other words, your life will come to ruins if you don't build your life on wisdom. It says not only will it crash, but great will be the crash. I love this because Jesus said wisdom comes from hearing the word of God. There's no better place to be on a Sunday morning than God's house, to sit under the instruction of the word of God. The very fact that you're here this morning, there's wisdom in it. But it's not just hearing it, it's putting it into practice. Now, if I were the enemy, I would do everything I could to get people to not be in church on a Sunday morning. I would do anything I could to get people so busy in their work that they didn't have time to go to church Sunday morning. I would do everything I could to get maybe parents, some involved in their kids' educational career and athletic career, that I didn't have time for church. Because all I got to do is get you out of hearing the word of God. All I got to do is get you out of that environment, and now foolishness is headed your way. Did you know, statistically proven, that people who go to church regularly, their IQ is higher than that of a national American? Well, what would that be? Because you're hearing the word of God. Amen? You're actually hearing the wisdom of the word of God. So you've actually got an advantage by being in God's house. You're not just listening to Steve Kelly, and if you were, please stop. But if you're actually hearing the wisdom that comes from the word of God, how many can thank God your life is on a better course today, where you were going what seemed right to you, but the word of the Lord came in and changed your direction? Come on, you got to build your life prepared for storms. Some people think that nothing bad's going to happen in life, but the Bible says bad things will happen. Bad things will come to the good and to the bad. In other words, we've got to be wise enough to build our life in such a way that when the storm comes, we're still standing. Amen? I think that's good preaching myself. You're being very quiet. Number three, wisdom has good companions. You know, when it comes to family, you know, you don't get to choose your brother or your sister. That's already chosen for you, isn't it? You don't get to choose your parents. That's already chosen for you. But you can choose your companions, the people you run with. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise shall grow wise. He who walks with the wise become wise. Can I tell you this? You've got to be committed to walk with people of wisdom. You don't choose your family, but you do choose your companions. You actually can choose who it is that you'll listen to. You've got to find people who are wise. And when you find them, you don't just bump up against them once every 6 months. You make a decision, I'm going to walk with them. For you to make a decision to walk with somebody means you've got a journey with them. It's not a casual little mentoring moment, but there are people that you pick in your life that you say, that's a person of wisdom, and I want to walk with these people. We're available to everybody. We put ourselves out there to help anyone and everyone who's looking for godly help. But we are choosing our companions, and we are choosing people as a result of their life that we feel like have walked with wisdom. And when we walk with them, the Bible says you grow wise. Doesn't mean just by one little bump up against someone, you've got the wisdom they have. But if you journey with them, if you walk with them, if you identify wisdom in their life, godly wisdom, it says you will grow wise. I am honestly a bigger and a better and a stronger and a wiser leader today because of the people that I choose to walk with. Amen. Who are you walking with? Listen to this. Wisdom gets to choose even additional family. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 7. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Say to insight, you are my relative. We have our family. They are chosen for us, but we still get to choose other family members. The Bible says you can say to wisdom, you're my sister. You can say to insight, I relate to you. You're my cousin. You're my uncle. I relate to you, insight. In other words, we actually get to choose family, amen? Regardless of who your family is, you choose who and what you relate to. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Number five, wisdom is decisive. Look at this. If any of you, this is James. Imagine being James. James is Jesus' half-brother. I don't know about you, but, you know, talk about sibling rivalry. Jesus was the oldest, and we know that Mary was the mother of Jesus. We know Joseph was not the father of Jesus, right? But we know James is a half-brother, that Joseph, Mary's husband, was the father of James. Is that right? So imagine growing up as James in Jesus' house. Imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus, turning to James, the brother of Jesus. And she says, why can't you be more like Jesus? Imagine James. I mean, you're going to give the guy some slack, haven't you? Because he thinks he's God, Mom. I mean, imagine growing up as a little kid, okay? And Jesus says, because the oldest, he goes, hey, I got an idea. Let's play hide and seek. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to count to 10. You run and hide, and then I'll come find you. So James goes, great idea, Jesus. And so James goes running, and Jesus starts counting. And then Jesus goes, 1, 2, 3, you're behind the tree. I don't know, it'd be all that fun growing up with Jesus as your half-brother. No wonder James didn't become a believer until after Jesus died and resurrected. If anyone's going to get some slack here, it would be James. So listen to what James says now. Watch. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, not Oprah, not the National Enquirer, not Wall Street Journal, amen, not CNN, not MSN, CNN, constantly negative news, MSN, more sad news. I wish I had something for Fox, I just can't think of anything. But all I know is we're not getting the wisdom that comes from the world. We are wanting the wisdom. The Bible says if you lack it, you're not going to get it through social media. You're not going to get it through Justin Bieber. And as glad as I am that Kanye West is making statements about his faith in Christ, I'm not getting it from Kanye. Amen? I'm getting it from God and from his word in Jesus' name. But it says you're to ask God who gives generously to everybody without finding fault. I don't know about you, but you ever ask God for something and right afterwards the enemy comes along and tells you how unworthy you are to receive something? I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. First time I got filled with the Holy Spirit, man, I got to tell you, I felt, man, power like I'd never felt before. And right after that, the enemy came along and said, that's not really the Holy Spirit. I remember when I got saved, right after the enemy says, well, you're not really a Christian. Look what you just thought. Who's ever been in the middle of worship with your hands raised and all of a sudden you're conscious of a thought that you as a Christian should not be thinking? No one's going to raise the hand. I got my hand raised. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now just put it down gently so it doesn't hurt your rib. Okay. Okay. So listen to it carefully. Now watch this. God does not find fault. So when you ask God for wisdom, he's not going, well, listen, you've had a sad and sorry marriage and now you're asking me to bless you with a new partner, not on the track record you've had. No, no. God doesn't find fault. You say, God, help me with my finances. And God says, your whole life's been a series of financial train wrecks. I'm sorry. The Bible says, if you lack it, there's a good start. And then secondly, ask me and I give it, watch, generously, not a little bit. In Australia, we had this margarine commercial. I don't know why I'm having an Australian flashback, but in Australia, we had this margarine commercial, and it used to be, a little dab will do you. And it was about how this margarine can go a long way and how a little dab will do you. Thank God, God is not a little dab will do you. God gives generously, and God gives without finding fault. He's not going, look what you've done, look how bad you are. Come on, somebody give God some praise. This is James. This is James talking. And listen to what he says. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea. But it says, blown and tossed by the wind. You ever seen the effect the wind has on the Chesapeake Bay? I live on the Chesapeake Bay. I watch the tides come up and I watch the tides go down. That's all part of the lunar system, the moon and the phase and all that. But more to it, I discover that something happens when there's a northeast wind. And the northeast wind blows into the Chesapeake Bay. And do you know what happens? A high tide becomes much higher. Even a low tide, if there's a strong northeast wind, the wind blows all the water of the ocean into the bay. The whole level goes up. I notice, however, when there's a southwest wind, that the wind then empties the bay. The average depth of the Chesapeake Bay, in case you were wondering, is 20 feet. But let me tell you, that height can change substantially just by which way the wind goes. Can I tell you, that's what James is saying. James is saying, if you doubt, you're like the wind that can just determine the course of how high tide is, how low a low tide is. It's inevitable. Wherever the wind's blowing, that's where it's going to be. It will affect the waves. The Bible says, if you're doubting, it is inevitable. And look what he says. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person, watch, is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I met Sharon and I years and years ago when we first started dating. And Sharon said to me at one point, and we were just only, when I say dating, I want to give you perspective on what dating looked like. I was allowed to pick her up to take her to Bible study. She would not hold my hand. She would not kiss me. She wouldn't even sit next to me in the car, and I had a bench seat car. Man, have me know there's nothing like a bench seat car. When all of a sudden you try and just stretch out and just with the bench seat car, you say, come and sit next to me, and you just put your arm around her while you're pretending to yawn. Sharon goes, no, we are Christians. We live above reproach. I'm going, I just want to put my arm around you. Nope. And I remember we were going out for a little while, and Sharon finally said, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going out with you anymore. And I said, why? She goes, you listen to secular music. You don't even know what church you want to be a part of. And I don't want to be a part of someone who's unsure about where they're called to be. And I'm thinking, excuse me, Mother Teresa, who died and left you in charge? And I'll never forget it, because it actually really helped me to really just think about where was my relationship with God at? And it really actually caused me to be someone who grew, and talk about faith or the wounds of a friend, because I really liked this girl. I really thought, this is the girl I want to marry, and she's dumped me. So about 6 months later, I got myself together in every way. And yeah, I was still struggling, to be honest with you, with the bars and the clubs and the nightclubs and my friends. And Sharon goes, I'm not part of any of that. I want nothing to do with that life. I'm telling you, I got squared away. And then the youth leader asked me to become one of the youth leaders. I was on the leadership team with Sharon. And I used to say, hey, can we go out again? Nope. I said, why not? She goes, once I've gone out with someone, I never go out with them again. I said, I'm the only guy you've ever gone out with. How do you know that's a good theory? My good friend Jerry Kane says, Steve, you're crazy. She's the girl. I said, I know, but she keeps telling me no. Now, when I say go out again, this is go out again. Pick her up for Bible study. I'm not talking about smoochy, kissy, huggy. I'm talking about just picking her up. Mother Teresa. And I used to keep saying, are you sure? Are you sure? This went on for months. And then I could tell she wanted to say yes. And she worked for the AAA Association. She had a very good job. She had hundreds of people that answered to her, and she had to make decisions on a daily basis. And while I was saying, can we go out again? Her head was saying no, but thank God her heart was saying yes. But she found herself unable to make any decision at work. Look what James says happens to a person who can't make their mind up in one area. It says, such a person, thank you, Jesus, for your word, is double-minded and unstable. Watch, in all they do. That one area I've done, and this is true, God gave her that verse. And God said to her, you got to make your mind up. Are you going to go out with Steve again or are you not? And by the grace of God, Sharon made the wisest decision she's ever made. And everybody said, and Sharon said, amen. She could have said a little louder, I thought, but watch this. Double-mindedness actually destabilizes your whole life. Are you hearing me? So I read this verse, 17 years of age, and I said, God, I sure lack wisdom. I grew up with alcoholic parents. They didn't really have a whole lot of discipline. I loved them. They're with Jesus now. I had the privilege of leading them both to Christ. And I didn't grow up with a lot of, if you like, discipline. Like, I mean, some of you will probably say, yeah, this doesn't shock me, but I've never been spanked in my entire life. Some of you go, yeah, that explains a lot, right? Never disciplined, never in my life. I just did whatever I want, whenever I wanted. I remember one time I was staying over at Sharon's house, which is sleeping in the lounge room for all the young people, in case you're wondering. And Sharon said to me, you need to ring your mother and father. And I said, why? She goes, they'll be worried. I said, sweetie, I've gone weeks without being home. They're not going to worry. She goes, you will not stay here unless you ring your parents. I rang my mother. I said, hey, Mom, just want to let you know I'm not coming home tonight. She goes, why are you calling? I said, Sharon made me. You with me here? I grew up. I mean, I was talking to Rosemary Wilson in the break. I mean, I literally slept on Bondi Beach most nights of school and work. I mean, I just lived a reckless, do what I want, whenever I want life. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, I'm a Christian. And I got this vision one day to be a pastor. And I realized I have no discipline. I'm not blaming my parents for it. They had their own deal. But I realized, as a teenage boy, 13 years of age, I wanted to buy a stereo system, like a really good one, because I love music. And so I said to my parents, I want to buy a stereo system. Would you buy it for me? And they said, we don't have any money. Get a job. The age of 13, I was a floor sweeper at Walmart. And I got a job. And then I said to my parents, okay, would you lend me the money and I'll pay you back? They said, no, we're going to teach you the value of hire purchase. This is my parents' best wisdom for me. Pay 21% interest rate. Borrow $300 and pay back $3,000. In other words, don't save for it. Don't delay gratification. Just get what you want when you want. And I remember saying, God, I lack wisdom. I lack discipline. And I got a hold of this verse and I said, God, I'm asking as of today for godly wisdom in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that he who walks with the wise shall grow wise. I say to wisdom, you are my sister. I say to insight, you're my relative. Lord, I thank you without a shadow of a doubt that you don't look at me and see this broken, undisciplined young man, but you look at me and you give me what I ask for generously. And I believe from that day forward, I receive wisdom into my heart. Come on, that's what James is talking about. Come on, that's what James is talking about. Wisdom in your marriage. Wisdom in your health, wisdom in life, wisdom in choosing your life's partner. And here's my last thought. Listen to this. Wisdom starts with having a healthy fear of God. Wisdom starts, doesn't end with that, but it starts with that. One of the things I have no doubt about, America needs another healthy fear of God again. Matter of fact, there's a guy called David Barton. He's done some research, and I like this guy. And he can literally show you the exams and the tests that young people used to get in second grade and sixth grade. And back, you know, hundreds of years ago, when young people were in school, the test they got, when I looked at them, I thought, I don't know if I know all the answers. But you know, the day we took God out of our school, I believe we said, God, to hell with you. And as a nation, we are nowhere near as smart as we used to be. See, the Bible says, watch this, watch. Come here, I want to finish with this verse. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Interesting that it's Proverbs 1. There are 31 Proverbs, and there's 31 days to a month. I would encourage you for this month of November, read a proverb a day. Proverbs 1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The day we took God out of our schools, literally, I can show you the IQ of the average young person in the United States went down. If you say, God, we don't need you in our schools, come on, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we take God out of our nation gets dumber. When we take God and say, God, we don't need you, we don't need your word, and we don't allow God's word to weigh in on the decisions we make in our daily life, and we don't allow the word of God to weigh in terms of what God's word is for us as a country, can I tell you, God says, okay, then you will reap what you sow. It's not the judgment of God, it's the consequences of leaving God out of your life. Come on, somebody. I want to encourage us. Like I said before, just by being in God's house, you're smarter. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You are wise because you sit under the teaching of the Word of God. How many thank God for His Word and for wisdom? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive the Word. Seventh point was God, wisdom understands moderation. You don't have to get everything today. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Amen. Anything taken to excess leads to perversion. Wisdom understands moderation. You know, the Bible says a person who is even a fool, if he can just keep his mouth shut, watch this, seems wise. Amen. Just by learning to restrain your words, you come across wiser than you might really be. You're actually able to restrain your words. I was with a business person this week. He's not part of Wave Church, but he's wanting to meet with me and talk to me about something that he would like for us to consider. And so I met with him, and he was, for the first 20 minutes, was talking about the value of marijuana. And I'm thinking, what? I wonder what this guy wants. And I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't want Wave Church to suddenly be into marijuana. And I'm thinking, I'm going to say nothing. I'm just going to say. So I said to him, I said, at the end of it all, I didn't agree or disagree with him. I just let him talk. And I said, is that why we're meeting? What's the appointment about? Oh, no, the appointment's about that. Oh, let's get to that. I just had enough wisdom that I don't want to drive a wedge on the first conversation. He's kind enough to think about how can we do something, how can he help Wave Church? And someone who's thinking about that, it's like, to me, it's a good start of a relationship. I didn't want to get it off on a bad foot. You with me here? So a wise man knows when to keep his mouth shut. Do I think marijuana's good? No. You want proof? Go visit some cities where it's legalized and see what's happening. Okay. Now, I do have strong theological views about it. Do you know the word pharmakia, which is drug, is actually founded in Scripture sometimes as sorcery? Did you know that? Not all plants are sorcery, not all drugs are sorcery, but there are some things we try to escape reality with that I think are dangerous. But anything taken to excess, I mean, the Bible says all things are beneficial. Take alcohol. did you know the Bible actually says, be not drunk with wine? Did you know that? In other words, don't be excessive with it. Are you hearing me? Okay. But Paul said to Timothy, a little wine's good for your stomach. He heard Timothy had a bad stomach. And he said, Timothy, here's my prescription to you. In the Word of God, drink some wine. Now, if you're an alcoholic, whatever you do, don't do that. Have wisdom. Anything taken to excess can lead to perversion. If you don't believe me, talk to me about my mum and dad and what they did with alcohol and how it ruined our family. Are you hearing me? Anything taken to excess can lead to perversion. Let me give you another example. Sex. Can we use that word in church? S-E-X. How many know within a marriage context, it's great? And everybody who's married said, anyone who's not married, keep trusting the Lord. Look straight ahead right now. But can I tell you, you take that to an extreme. You do that to an extreme, it will end up being perverted. You take the teaching of prosperity and blessing, and you take that to an excess, and it will end up being perverted. You take the idea of suffering, and you take that to an extreme, and it will end up being perverted. So, in other words, wisdom understands restraint, understands moderation. Are you hearing me? Are you catching this? It's wisdom. Just sometimes learning how to control your spirit. Listen to this. I'm done. Watch this. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. When you just lose it and lash out and you spend the next 6 years apologizing for saying something you should never have said. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know the guy who said sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me? He lied. The Bible says life and death in the power of the tongue. And it's a foolish thing to give full vent to your spirit. It's better to hold back. It's better to understand wisdom. I think that's good preaching. I think that's a good start. Come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive it. I'm looking forward to this series, Wise Guys. Next week, I want to talk to you about, or the week after, I forget which week it is, I've written into my schedule, what I want to talk about is actually collecting wisdom thoughts. Some people collect coins. Some people collect stamps. I collect wisdom thoughts. And I love to get a hold of them, and they're just great thoughts, wisdom, that I believe are founded in Scripture that can help us live the best life that God wants us to live. I'm looking forward to it. How many are looking forward to this series? Amen. Did anybody get something today in all of our campuses? Come on, in LA and Wilson, Greenville, Richmond, Norfolk. Praise the Lord. Look at me now as I close. I want to pray for you if you don't yet know Jesus. Look at me now. Look, everybody. I know it's a scary thought, but look at me. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Listen to me now. Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? Wisdom. Let me tell you, it's not just what seems right to you. It's that, you know, I know plenty of people over my years of study and research who are brilliant-minded people, scientists and academics who've sought out to disprove the authority and the authenticity of Scripture. And I can't tell you how many of them, in their pursuit to prove that Scripture is errant, that God is not real, ends up becoming a believer. There's a way that seems right to a man. Can I tell you today, God is real. Can I tell you today, He loves you. And I want to pray for you this morning as I close this service. I want to pray for you if you don't yet know Jesus. If you've not yet encountered Jesus, look at me, for yourself. Not because your friend goes, not because your mother goes, not because someone else goes, but have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus for yourself? Do you know what it is to be sure that you are a Christian? The very meaning of the word Christian, listen to me, means Christ in you. Is Christ in you? Are you sure you've made your peace with God? I'd love to pray for you this morning. Come on, church. You're going to believe with me this morning? How many are going to believe with me this morning? Come on, how many are going to believe with me? I'm going to ask you in a moment, if you say, Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, I want the wisdom of God. I don't want to live a life that just seems right to me, but I want God in my life. I want to come back to God. I'm going to ask you to do something. People do this in our church every Sunday, don't they, church? Already, as I'm speaking to you through our online, someone has already made a decision to put their faith in Jesus. Can we give God a hand for that? I'm going to ask you to do something. In just a moment, when I just ask us to pray, if you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak, Steve, I'm not right with God, I'm going to ask you not to stand up, not to come to the front, just where you're seated. If you just take your hand and you just put it in the air, high enough and long enough for me to see it, so I just know who I'm praying for. You believing with me, church? Can we pray? Do you know the last service, the 9 o'clock, when we really started to pray in the service, I can't tell you the difference it made with people responding to God. Can we pray right now, everybody? Come on, let's be in prayer. And friend, if that is you, and you say, Steve, you are talking to me. Steve, I want to get right with God. Steve, I want to make my peace with God. Would you just lift your hand right now all over the building? That's it. God bless you. Who else would lift your hand and say, Steve, you're talking to me. God bless you. That's it. God bless you. That's it. God bless you. That's it. God bless you. Come on, I'm looking around the auditorium. God bless you and God bless you. I'm looking for you right now. God bless you and God bless you. I'm looking up there, up the back. I see that on the very back row, up in the upper section. I see you. Come on, over there to my far right. I see you. Amen. God bless you, sir. I see you. That young person right there. I see you. Come on. Anyone else who would lift your hands? High enough and long enough. There's two hands right there, right in front of me. Another three hands right there. Church, can we give the Lord a hand for every single person? Amen. Over there, I saw your hand, young man. Let's all pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I hear you and I receive you. I believe in my heart right now. I am a Christian. You now live in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, we've clapped, but let's really thank God. Come on.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.